5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Happy holidays. Hour number two of Farrell on the Bench. Mike Blewett coming off the bench to fill in for Scott. How about that update from Dan Strafford? He says, I don't give him enough credit. I'd like to give him credit for a hell of an update. Although Mafia and I were laughing about the one piece where it says Dwayne Haskins attended an event with strippers. I'll be honest, I don't know all of the details of it. I know he's an idiot for letting himself get caught publicly like that. But Mafia, I'll bring you in on this one. Attending an event with strippers, I suppose technically it may not have been at a strip club, but he went to a strip joint. That's what it seems like, right? That's not attending an event.
Yeah, that seems like the nicest way I've ever heard of it. You know, it described like it was some kind of charity auction casino night where all of a sudden, oh look, there's women taking their clothes off randomly.
Yeah, right. Like he was in his three-piece suit or his in a tux, attending a formal event, and randomly these women showed up and got him in trouble somehow. It was obviously a planned event. I'll get into my thoughts on him a little bit later.
Apparently he hired the strippers for a private party at a hotel suite.
So that technically is not going to a strip club. So I'm not blaming Dan.
It's also not an event.
It's right. That's right. It's not an event. He was partying with strippers, a planned stripper party. So we can get into that later and how it impacts him. Well, I have a whole section on the NFC East because there's interesting gambling tie-ins, too. That's what we're here for on the grid. So let me kick it off by saying I was talking about it just before the break with Mafia about how the Clippers are off to an amazing start. But the Lakers have fought right back, a 39-19 first quarter, and the Lakers have fought back. It is now 27-14 in the second quarter in favor of the Lake Show. It is a 53-46 game right now with 2.5 minutes. It's just amazing how the NBA, basketball in general, but the NBA, we see such wild swings like this. Not everybody can get off to a good start every night. You know what I mean? Especially the Lakers that have been dealing with a shortened offseason, obviously a good offseason in that they raised the banner. And by the way, they're raising the banner and keeping it covered until fans can come back. And it says, stay tuned, or something along those lines. Stay tuned Lakers fans. They want the fans to be there when they unveil the banner. Players receive their championship rings tonight. Early on in that action, Kawhi, 13 points, got a couple of boards there. Paul George, 7 points and 5 rebounds. On the flip side, LeBron James, slow start, just 1 of 6 shooting, 3 points. Anthony Davis, 10 points and 3 rebounds to get things started there. Montrezl Harrell, switching LA uniforms. He's now on the Lakers. He's put in 14 minutes and 7 points and 5 rebounds thus far. But a lot going on tonight in the sports world. So that's the NBA. We tipped off. We had Warriors Nets earlier. I talked about that at the top of hour one. I'll give everybody a brief update now. The Nets took it to them. That game was over early. It was 63-45 at halftime. The Nets win 125-99, covering easily. But as I mentioned previously, depends where you got the number. But the total was 234.5. It finishes at 234. So that's kind of a bad beat for some of you out there, I believe. Is that right? 125. No, 125 plus. I'm doing the math wrong, so it's not even close. Whatever. I did the math wrong in the first hour. I'm correcting myself now. So it did not get to the 234.5. So we're welcoming in our radio audience now. Thank you for listening. Happy holidays. And it's Mike Blewett in for Pharrell on the bench. So on the Warriors side, there's no Draymond Green tonight. Steph Curry, 20 points, a minus 23 for Steph Curry. He 10 assists to go along with the 20 points. But again, this one was over. It was over early. Kyrie Irving had 24 points in the first half. He only finished with 26, but they took it easy. Like I mentioned earlier, the anomaly in this game, yeah, the Warriors off to a bad start. I don't know how that team's going to look, but Draymond Green isn't there. They also, the NBA sent them on the road for a 4-game East Coast swing to start this season. So they're actually playing the Bucks on Christmas Day. So unfortunately, they take it on the chin here from the Nets. Durant coming back, his first game back, perfect from the free throw line, 22 points on 7 of 16, shooting 5 boards. But the anomaly in this game, all 15 players for the Nets got minutes. No DNP CDs. They didn't. You know, on the Warriors side, obviously Draymond didn't play tonight, but all 15 players got minutes tonight. At least 5 minutes. I can't remember the last time something like that has happened. So that's the NBA. I'm going to get into it a little bit deeper. We did have the two bowl games with Nevada taking out Tulane today. Nevada was the underdog. They get the straight up win. They go over 55.5. UCF gets crushed by BYU in the Boca Raton Bowl. BYU covers easily as a 6.5-point favorite, 49-23 victory. That game goes under the 78.5. So I'll get into some more NBA after this. I've got a lot of NFL on the docket for hour number two. Maybe we'll circle back to some college basketball, get you some updates on the late night games there. But it's Mike Blewett, hour number two of Pharrell on the Bench, right here on the Grid, back after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're everywhere. Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy. Like, real easy. In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Yeah.
And we're back on the grid. Please follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid, on Instagram at SportsGridTV. I'm at Mike Blewett and at Hey Blewett on Instagram if you want to follow me over there. But I would say we're going to focus a little bit on NBA here because a big story broke earlier today. Forgive me if you're watching the stream and not just listening. I'm going to be looking at my phone as I look at some of these notes because they're important. Shams Charania from The Athletic talking about signs of tension between James Harden, Rockets teammates early on. As they prepare to open the regular season tomorrow on Wednesday, they do so under a cloud of uncertainty with the face of their franchise. The Rockets do not plan to simply give away James Harden, the 8-time All-Star who has made clear that he prefers a trade to a contender. So there's all kinds of dynamics of tension here. Harden reported to training camp 1 week late on December 8th with the intention of keeping things professional. There's reports he's had multiple verbal confrontations with teammates in practice on Sunday and Monday, and one confrontation including Harden throwing a basketball at a teammate on Monday. Sources say Harden and rookie Jayshon Tate had a heated exchange during Monday's practice, culminating in Harden throwing the ball in Tate's direction. The ball did not hit Tate. Interactions like these between teammates during practice can be a part of a normal competitive environment. However, Harden is known by those in the organization as a laid-back and calm personality. I remember reading that and hearing that about him in the past, and some saw it as a sign of a lack of competitiveness. But clearly, that's not the case. He's highly competitive. The guy's competing for MVPs and putting up historic numbers. But I think it is telling that there's a little bit of a personality change, potentially trying to force his way out of there. I don't know what to say. I think it's a rock and a hard place scenario. I think that Harden obviously doesn't want to be there, but you can't let the guy walk for pennies on the dollar. They're pot committed to him monetarily. And while the player empowerment movement has created some ill effects on certain ways, like you're all for it, but there are obviously have been situations where players pout and stomp their feet and force themselves out of a situation, creating the team management to have to blow up the team that they built to try to win prematurely. This is a unique scenario, right? They really have acquiesced to many of the things that James Harden wanted them to do, and now he wants out. So they've built it up, torn it down, built it up, torn it down, made all these kinds of moves that he was in favor of, and then decided on this day or this month that he didn't like it anymore. And now he decides once and for all that he wants out. So Lerman Fertitta is going to have to figure out exactly how to manage this. This is an ownership decision. This is not your new GM or your new coach. The coach, Lucas, has to deal with all of this. Or Silas, excuse me, has to deal with all of this. Tough deal. But Harden, obviously, creating some tension there between teammates. And you could imagine that the alpha dog teammate like this acting better than the rest and constantly getting into arguments and throwing basketballs at rookies is going to get old for them. They're not going to want him around. I think you have had situations like this where what happened with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, where they were going to trade him at the deadline and it didn't happen, and then they just played him sparingly and then didn't play him at all. Nobody really wanted him there. He obviously didn't want to be there anymore, and we knew on some level that he wasn't going to be. But having to deal with that falling apart all around you as the coach, I believe it was Alvin Gentry at the time, was impossible. And now having to deal with this, who guy was one of the best scorers, maybe the best pure scorer in the league. I'd say it's Kevin Durant as far as that title is concerned, but Kevin Durant's coming off pretty devastating injury, so we'll see how he rebounds from that, although 22 points tonight, a pretty good rebound. But the Harden thing is going to go on for a while, I get the sense. They can't be in a hurry to trade him. They got to wait for that best offer, but who knows what that best offer will be. So the Lakers fighting back. It is a one-point game at halftime, a 39-19 first quarter for the Clippers. My man Mafia was in my ear saying that the Lakers are getting crushed. They fight back to a 36-17 second quarter and is now a one-point halftime situation. great game to bet, you know, live. I'll tell you what it is right now. You're not getting a value on it anymore. The Lakers are 1.5-point favorite. I didn't track it when during the course of the show, but interesting there. On the college basketball front, almost all the action is over. You have UC San Diego playing right now, hosting St. Catherine. I'll be honest, I don't even know what that is. It's probably a D2 school, but I don't know what St. Catherine with a K is. Oregon State playing Portland State right now, and then TCU hosting North Dakota State. So we do have three games, just those three games. There's no line on the UC San Diego game, obviously, but Grand Canyon and Colorado tied at 10 right now. And the other game is, I don't have a live line on that TCU North Dakota State game. So we'll get it to you when we can. But Lakers, Clippers, 56-55 game at halftime. So although FanDuel is a little behind, it says 56-54. I'll try to figure that out as we tip off for the second half. So I'm going to get into some futures right now a little bit for the NBA. I think it's important at this time of year. We're tipped off. And it's day one of the NBA season. We got some action tomorrow. We obviously have a lot of action tomorrow. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 games tomorrow. So all of the NBA in action that didn't play tonight. And obviously, we're moving on to Christmas Day with a big slate there. But the futures. Let's take a look at some of the team futures, the division winners. We'll take a look at it here. Pacific Division winner, Lakers minus 130, Clippers 115. Southwest Division winner, the Mavs at minus 195, Rockets at plus 480, the Pels at plus 500. Look, I think it's going to be Dallas, but if I want to place a bet for fun and root for some of the young players, I think the Pels is an interesting team to put there. The Northwest, you got the Nuggets at minus 130, the Jazz at plus 250, the Blazers at plus 300. You find a way where the Blazers can put it together for an entire season. That feels like a tough bet for me, but that's the team I'd want to pull for there. Miami Heat minus 300 to win the Southeast. The Hawks well off the pace at plus 600. The Nets at plus 140 to win the Atlantic. This is the most competitive of the odds, obviously outside of the Pacific with the two LA teams kind of tight. You have the Nets at plus 140, Celts at plus 250, Sixers at plus 390, and then the Central Division winner, the Bucks, are minus 1450. No value there. You'd have to expect probably multiple injuries for the Bucks to fall out of it, and that's not something I feel like rooting for ever. But the Nets at plus 140, Celts at plus 250, Sixers at plus 390. Based on the way the Nets played tonight, probably want to take the Nets right now at plus 140 before it drops to negative money. But obviously two highly competitive teams, you know, the Jason Tatum extension. You got the Sixers making moves on the coaching front and on the GM front. We'll see what else they have up their sleeve as this Ben Simmons thing happens. The Ben Simmons to Houston rumor has been hot here for a couple of weeks, but I don't know how realistic that is. And if you're Philly, if you really want to do it, there's a lot of thought to break those two guys up and beat in Simmons, and that does make sense for me from a basketball perspective. But do you want to break it up for James Harden? Is he the final piece of a championship puzzle for you? It's possible. It's possible. I see why Embiid and Simmons don't work. I do think somebody can get them to work, but I see why people think that they won't work. So what I'm going to do in this next segment is turn my attention back to the NFL. I'm going to cry in my beer a little bit about the Steelers' devastating loss and figure out if they're going to get right. I don't know if they can, but I'm going to try and see if they can. Listen to Mike Tomlin talk about it as well next on The Grid.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the grid, Mike Blewett, Pharrell on the bench. So turn back over to the NFL. By the way, NBA lines, one thing I wanted to go over. NBA championship lines right now, Lakers at plus 270, Bucks at plus 550, Nets at plus 600. I'm sure those Nets odds come down probably slightly after people watching them tonight. But pretty interesting NBA Eastern Conference odds. The Bucks are at plus 240, Nets at plus 270. I'd be interested in that. I don't know if the Heat can pull it off this season again, but they're at plus 600, so somebody to consider there as well. On the NFL, the Steelers, my Pittsburgh Steelers, and Scott is a big Steelers fan. Coincidentally, I am as well. Scott is a tried and true Pittsburgh. I'm a Subway alum of sorts, I guess, whatever you would call it. But I'm a Steelers fan my whole life, just from the New York area. But I rooted for them growing up. The Jets and Giants weren't any good. A lot of men, women around my age ended up rooting for teams that are not the Jets or Giants if you grew up in the 70s and early 80s. A lot of Cowboys and Steelers and Dolphins and Vikings and Raiders fans because the Jets and the Giants were no bueno. So Steelers lost on Monday Night Football to the Bengals 27-17. They dropped their third in a row. It's their worst upset loss since 1966. Mike Tomlin's going to talk about it right here.
Largely, man, we got a lot of work to do. We're not a good football group right now. And so we understand the consequences that come with that. We're working on a short week. We got to be better than what we've been. And that's just the reality of it.
So Mike Tomlin also said he'd talk to Juju Smith-Schuster about his pregame dances on the opponent's logos. It's a funky dynamic, right? Because, and I'll be the first one to say, I didn't understand why people were saying Juju's not going to be a part of the Steelers' plans. I thought that Juju is a, I think Juju's a better player than people give him credit for. Some people have assumed that all of his success was due to how good Antonio Brown was on the other side. And there's always that discussion as to whether or not this guy can do it on his own. Can he be a real number one receiver? Now, his opportunity to prove it was last year, and Ben got hurt in game number two, and then Juju was actually in and out of the lineup all year as well. He was dealing with injuries and the worst quarterback play in the whole league. Now, he got Ben back this year. This was another opportunity to prove how good he was. And Ben is not playing well. The offense is broken. They can't run the ball that well. And they play this ball control passing game. And there was a lot that has been said about it on air on a variety of different places today. But I believe it was Ryan Clark on ESPN when I was watching earlier that said, you're not really doing anything differently when you are doing a ball control passing game like they're doing, which is 3 and 4 yards from the line of scrimmage, and then also trying to run it. There's no diversity there. We saw the stats all day long, pounded into our heads. Ben was 8% completion rate when he threw the ball more than 10 yards down the field. I've been saying it for a month, even when they were still 11-0, I said the issue is that there is no explosive passing plays in the offense. We saw these things start to rear their head against Dallas, against Baltimore, even games that they won, even the Jacksonville game. They were throwing the ball 50 times a game in games that they were winning when they didn't have to. I don't quite understand why they can't run the ball well. I'm thinking about baseball season. Benny Snell Jr. ran the ball 18 times last night for 84 yards. It is not gangbusters, but he broke a play for more than 20 yards. They did have an explosive play in the running game. So I don't understand the abandonment of the running game, why it's just the short ball control passing game. There's no explosive plays in the passing offense at all, though they had a couple last night on the one drive back-to-back plays. I just don't understand it. And as far as circling back to Juju, it's really stupid. I'm just going to be honest. I'm all for players having fun. I really am. Celebrate. But going out there and doing that kind of stuff on the other team's logo, you know it's going to bother them. And it's putting your TikTok celebrity in front of the things that you're trying to do on the field. I know Tomlin doesn't like it. I'm surprised he let it go on because this isn't the first time Juju's done it. Obviously, he did it against Buffalo, and now he did it here, two games that they lost. I'm not saying that's why they lost, but I'm not about that. I understand why opposing players want to take his head off, and they nearly did last night. Although I will say, not an excuse for losing the game. The play on which he fumbled was a helmet-to-helmet hit. I don't really... We're reviewing it to make sure he fumbled, and then we can't review the fact that it was a personal foul on the play. So it's not an excuse for why they lost the game. It was a contributing play, and the Bengals went on to score a touchdown, but I'm not using it as an excuse. It was a penalty in my mind, and Juju should stop doing that. And I don't think he's going to be on the Steelers next year. There are salary cap ramifications related to Ben in all of this, which I'll try to get to if I have time at the end of it. But right now, Ben is a mess. And I think, as I explained on last night's show, I think the reason he's not throwing consistently downfield with any accuracy is because he can't do it. I think the elbow surgery, whether or not he ever comes back from it and improves from the surgery, has clearly impacted him. I don't know that he ever gets back to anywhere close to where he was. And the elbow surgery may have effectively ended his career. I can't say that for certain now. It might take more healing time. We'll talk to Dr. Chow about that. I have him on every Sunday. We have not asked him that specific question. I will do it next time we have him on. So the last two games for the Steelers are important games in the context of the AFC because they have the Colts who are fighting for a divisional title. And if the Steelers lose and the Browns win, they're going to be fighting for the divisional title in week 17. And it brings in John Harbaugh, will need to be rooting for the Steelers. He talks about it here.
That can help you guys is if you win out and the Steelers either win one of their last two games, you guys are in. I think some people are wondering whether you guys are now, would you be Steeler fans for at least the next couple of weeks?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, we want to get in the playoffs. So we know that we need some help, but the focus really for us is going to be on taking care of our business. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. If we don't take care of, you know, our job, and our job is to win. So we've got to find a way to win this week. That's 100% exactly what we'll be locked in on, focused on, and everything else is not something we can control, but we can control how we play. We need to play our best football next week to win that game.
Yeah, so bottom line, if the Steelers were to lose out, hypothetically, and finish at 11-5, they would have the tiebreaker over the Ravens. And it would also mean that the Browns could potentially have gotten to 12 wins as well as Indianapolis would get to 12. So that would leave the Ravens out. I'm not sure exactly where it leaves Miami. I'd have to look back at Miami could potentially, I guess, win out and they'd have 11 wins too. So it brings tiebreakers into effect, but it could have them on the outside looking in where like the Steelers and the Colts would be wildcard teams at 11-5. And then Miami maybe would be the third team at 11-5. And Baltimore at 11-5 would be left out. There's only one 11-5 team in NFL history that has been left out of the playoffs. Can you think? I'm giving everybody a few seconds to figure out. Do you know the answer? Do you remember who it was? It was the 2008 Patriots. The Matt Cassel-led 2008 Patriots. Brady went out due to an ACL injury in the first game of the year against the Chiefs. And Matt Cassel went 11-4 the rest of the way guiding that team. It led to his big contract when he became the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. Didn't really work out too well for him or them, but the 11-5 Patriots in 2008, the only other team to miss. And Miami or Baltimore or someone else is potentially headed that way as well. So, okay, so that's it for John Harbaugh rooting for them. Let me get into a real quick note on Josh Gordon. You heard the update there from Dan Strafford. It's kind of sad. he's fought all the way back this many times. And I give the NFL credit. I know a lot of people, I see a lot of commentary out there and people don't have a lot of sympathy for Josh Gordon. And yes, it is his problem and his addiction that he has to contend with. But I think he's sick. And I actually give, for all the beatings that people give Roger Goodell, I give Roger Goodell and the league a lot of credit for the way they handled Josh Gordon and have handled other guys in his position, because knowing that you're sensitive to and open to players that are dealing with addiction issues, trying to get the help that they need via rehab and therapy and everything else and try to get back on the right track and being accepting of them, I think makes you a better employer. It's not a perfect, employer scenario. Obviously there's tension between the NFL and the NFLPA all the time. As soon as they signed the new CBA, there was tension. And the NFL also reached out to a lot of the players that were going to be impacted by medical benefits negatively by the way of the new CBA. They reached out to them. They extended an olive branch, and they're going to extend those benefits for a few years. So the NFL gets a lot of grief for a lot of things, and fans often take it for granted that the games go on as they go on, and they can just bash and boo Roger Goodell. But in the instance of Josh Gordon, I'll at least give him and the league credit. And it's sad that Josh Gordon is not going to be able to join any NFL team anytime soon. He has not met all the stipulations of his re-entry into the league. I'm going to come back, talk more NFL, specifically the NFC East, right here on The Grid. It's Pharrell on the bench, Mike Blewett filling in.
Your search is over.
You found it.
What you've been looking for.
The definitive culmination of the state of the art
of sports talk.
This
is The Winning Edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to The Grid. Mike Blewett in for Scott. So talking NFL right now, one thing I wanted to mention to everybody is that a new change to the NFL hiring process can now start as early as Wednesday. Teams can begin interviewing employed head coaching candidates Wednesday, and that's a new change. They can now request and conduct virtual interviews with candidates employed by other teams beginning this Wednesday, as opposed to waiting until the end of the regular season, as was customary, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported. The new rule allows virtual interviews during the regular season of up to 2 hours, but applies only to head coaching vacancies. There are restrictions for other coaching positions, and there are no in-person interviews permitted while the hiring club or candidates club is still playing. So, teams can deny the interview request. That's always been the case. Also on Tuesday, the league sent out a memo to remind them of new requirements under the Rooney Rule, which includes interviewing two external minority candidates for head coaching jobs, one for coordinator jobs, and one for GM jobs. Earlier in December, the NFL teams informed teams that interviews with candidates for head coach, GM, and other football positions must be conducted virtually until the candidate's team and the hiring team are out of the playoffs. Currently, the Texans, Falcons, Detroit Lions are playing under the helm of interim coaches. And I think many of us assume that Adam Gase could be out. We look at teams like the Chargers. I don't know. I don't know what to think about the Chargers. I think they really like Anthony Lynn. And now they're winning some games. And what if he scraps back? We had Randy Cardoon on yesterday talking about it. Well, what if the Chargers win their last two and they're 7-9? I think I've seen too much of Anthony Lynn mismanaging game situations for me to feel confident in him coming back. But they have a talented team, and the quarterback has looked great, to be honest. So would they run it back with Anthony Lynn? I don't know. I think that'd be an interesting scenario for him and Tom Telesco to come back when they've been disappointing, obviously, for the last few seasons. So let's talk a couple of playoff scenarios. You know what? I'm going to move over to the NFC East. I want to make sure I get all this in. And we got some sound here that we're going to do. And then I'm going to break down the approach, my approach, late in season futures in the NFC East. We're going to do it right here. So first, we obviously, the big story, we're going to talk about Dwayne Haskins when I get to it. But the big story in Philly, these are all NFC East related stories, is that Jalen Hurts will continue to start for the Eagles this week, with there being reports that Carson Wentz is not interested in being a backup. I think we all know that. The locker room is against him and pro Hurts. And Hurts has now played two games. Here's what Eagles coach Doug Peterson had to say about it.
This is a situation where it's not Carson versus Jalen or Jalen versus Carson, right? This is a team that we're fighting and scratching each week and still have an opportunity to, you know, pull this thing out and see what happens here in the next 2 weeks of the regular season. And I can honestly say that there's Carson's been a professional about, you know, what he's about, what he's doing inside this building, on the field, during games, you know, and helping. And this is just something that there is no, you know, the team doesn't feel like, you know, there's any kind of animosity between either one of the guys. You know, we're all here to try to win games.
All right, I get it. You are there to try to win games, and I don't know what anybody would expect him to say, but I think he's wrong. It is Hurts versus Wentz. I think he has to say what he said, and I can't blame him for saying it. Some coaches are put in a position where they have to lie, but it's definitely going to be a Hurts versus Wentz scenario. I said last night, and I'll say again, I think you keep Hurts in there as long as he's playing like this. If he throws up a dud this week, maybe you bring Wentz back for week 17. But the reality is, I think you go into this offseason and it is a QB battle. And so what if there's tension? Wentz created this tension by playing so poorly. To see the other guy come in with the same bad offensive line and be a dynamic playmaker and throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and be able to run around and avoid the rush is really interesting. I like Jalen Hurts coming out, and I remember all the prop bets for him being drafted in the top two rounds. I was all in. I took unders on that because I thought somebody would take a chance. I didn't know it was going to be the Eagles, but I thought somebody would take a chance. And even if there are some limitations to his ability, we have to remember that. And I was the first one to tell you, I don't know about Big 12 quarterbacks. I would say this, you know, 3 years ago, I don't know about Big 12 quarterbacks. They haven't had any success. But now we've seen those formations, that style of play, bleed into the NFL. So where it wasn't there for Tim Tebow, for example, it has been there for guys like Baker and Pat Mahomes, and now somebody like Jalen Hurts. Pat Mahomes is obviously sort of on another level than anybody else because he's got such unique arm talent that I don't want to lump him in with everybody else, but the style of play, the RPOs and the spread formations have made their way into pro football. We're seeing with Kyler Murray, it's a name that I left out too, another Big 12 quarterback having success. So somebody like Jalen Hurts, even if he's not as talented as some of the other guys, he might put you in a better position than you're in with Carson Wentz, or certainly some of these older quarterbacks that we see that can't move around all that much, hello, in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. But I think it's really important to note that this is going to be an issue. It is Hurts versus Wentz, and Doug Peterson had to say that, but it isn't right. So the Panthers-Washington game has been moved back to 4:05 Eastern to be the same time as the Eagles-Cowboys, so that Washington can't eliminate them both before they play. We see this often in week 17, but if Washington were to win, it would knock both of those teams out. So we have some sound on Ron Rivera on this.
The only time I'm going to address is going to be in this press conference with you guys and then in the press conference with them. That's the truth of the matter. It becomes a storyline if you guys continue to make it the storyline. I'm not going to. Again, after today, I'm not going to address it until I have to address it with Carolina's media when we do their media call. So, I mean, that's the truth, Scott. I mean, the emotion of this game for me is this organization. And this organization right now is more important than you know, my personal situation. I mean that because we got 53 guys downstairs and a group of coaches that you know, we want to get into the playoffs. They want to get into the playoffs, and we want to do it for them and for us. So we have to focus in on the game.
So good stuff there from Ron Rivera. That's him talking specifically about him obviously playing against his old team that he coached for years. Two-time NFL Coach of the Year, got to a Super Bowl 15-1 record when Cam Newton won the MVP. I think he's trying to divorce himself from that being a focus of this week's game. But clearly there are players and coaches that have migrated from Carolina to Washington. Ironically, the Panthers just fired their GM, Marty Herney, who was the GM during Ron Rivera's tenure in Carolina. I wouldn't be surprised to see them link up again, and Matt Rhule going to be calling a lot of the shots. But again, the Washington game got moved to 4:05 because Dallas at 5-9 and Philly at 4-9-1. What if and when Washington were to win, they would be 7-9, and obviously Dallas and have tiebreakers with Dallas and wouldn't be able to get there. Dallas could get to the 7 wins, but Washington would eliminate them with a victory here, and Philly can't get to 7 wins on the season. They could win the division at 6-9-1, but that's where I wanted to go next, because I'll get to Dwayne Haskins when I get to him, but I wanted to break down the NFC East championship futures. Got a couple of minutes here. So Washington right now sits at 6-8. They play Carolina and then at Philly. They're -260. The Giants at 5-9 have Baltimore and Dallas. They're +600. Dallas is 5-9. They have Philly and the Giants. They're +1400. Philly at 4-9-1 is at Dallas and then Washington. They're +550. So Philly in last place has the second shortest odds. Now, anyone that says they have a feel for this outcome is lying. But the last place team, like I just said, has the second shortest odds, and they're being viewed positively by the book. In fact, I want to make sure that these are odds are live, because I wrote this up yesterday. Checking it right now, just so everybody knows, I'm above board. NFC East, that is still the case. All those odds are still identical. Now, if Dallas swept their last two, I know it's an impossible thing to think about, they would need Washington to get swept, which is possible, but it also relies on Philly winning in week 17 when they're done. Dallas will have eliminated them, then they need Philly to come back in week 17 and beat Washington. Now, the G-men can win week 17, and Washington football team can get swept, but then again, Philly would need to lose and then win a meaningless game for them. The bottom line is that everyone, except Washington, needs Philly to lose in week 17 and win the meaningless week 17 game. Philly and Jalen Hurts obviously need that to happen too. Carson Wentz would probably like to see Philly lose a couple of games here as well. And all I'm saying is that for it to be this late in the season and those kinds of division winner odds that are still very much in play might be worth taking a look at. I'm not going to argue with anybody's selection, but one team's getting dynamic QB play in Philly and everyone else is kind of blah, and they're +550. So keep that in mind, that Philly would have to potentially win a meaningless week 17 game or Dallas or the Giants to get in. That's what makes it difficult. That's why Dallas's odds are so long. They have to beat Philly and the Giants, and they need Philly to win a meaningless week 17 game. Now, the caveat to that is that Hurts is the quarterback, and he's going to play like crazy no matter what, right? So he could pull off that meaningless week 17 win against Washington if they are to lose to Dallas and then beat Washington. So you have that going for you, especially when the other side is dealing with quarterback issues of the highest order, because Alex Smith is still dealing with an injury and the Washington football team is dealing with Dwayne Haskins, who, as our update guy Dan Strafford put, was at an event with strippers. It was a hotel suite, and Dwayne Haskins has apologized for social media posts of him maskless at the strip club or the stripper event, whatever you want to call it. The league says they'll handle internally. I've been in contact with the league about it. There are so many things wrong with this, and we've heard rumors and, frankly, flat-out stories about how the Washington coaching staff and organization did not really see him as being a leader. We saw incidents early on with him not having his helmet ready to go and the kneeling. He's sort of lost track of the moment. I didn't judge him that harshly for that. He was a rookie. What's the big deal? But stuff like this, when you're the leader of the team and you have the opportunity to be the quarterback of a division champ after losing the job, you're out there maskless, putting yourself at risk when everybody knows everything is ramped up, the protocols are ramped up, and this is your deal. I care less about you, that's how you party, than you being in a position to not be able to play because of COVID protocols. Going to come back, close out the show after this on the bench, on the grid. Okay, folks, closing it out. Thanks for being here with me tonight. Happy holidays. Shout out to Mafia, Brian Ciano for producing tonight. Good stuff as always, helping me through this show. And appreciative to Scott for giving me the opportunity to step up and in for him. Thanks for everybody listening and watch the stream, and happy holidays. I really mean it. I want you to have the safest, happiest holiday season. 2020 has been a hell of a year. I think that's the largest understatement I'll ever make on air. I'm lucky to have gotten through and been able to be on air and do all these shows and have fun in spite of everything going on around us. I know my kids are excited for Christmas, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with the family around the holidays. I will be on air this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We have college football. We got bowl games about us, and I have to preview the national championship semifinal games. I'll be on air on Sunday on Pro Football Today. That's with Ariel Epstein and Dane Martinez, and College Football Today on Saturdays. I'm with Joe Lisi. So be sure to listen to those shows to get the latest insight. We go heavy on wagering and figuring out your best bets for the day. I'll close out by saying that the Lakers and Clippers are still in a battle. We're in 56 seconds left in the third quarter. Clippers got the better of them in the third. It is 87-78. Clips over the Lake Show right now on the board on college basketball. Just one game. Colorado and Grand Canyon locked up at 27. I told you earlier about Zach Wilson. I don't know. I really don't know how high he's going to climb draft boards, but I know I live in New York, and I know there's a lot of Jets fans trying to talk them into him at the number two pick. Jets will probably win another game and find themselves sliding down the draft board now that they've lost the opportunity to pick Trevor Lawrence. So that's it for me. On behalf of myself and my family, happy holidays to everybody listening out there for you, and happy holidays on behalf of the Sports Grid family. Talk to you soon, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.